You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
An old man back in my hometown, they gave me this plot of land. Me and some other men for job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up the flag and told my mom and dad, proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. And I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. And I can rest in peace, one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. Remember, Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. When we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it costs to keep us free. Now here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. He recognized me on the day that I came in, and it gave me the chills when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. And I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. One of the chosen ones, I made it to Arlington. I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. And I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones, I made it to Arlington, I made it to Arlington, I made it to Arlington.
Peter, kill and eat. That's where we're at today. We're in chapter 10 of the book of Acts this morning. Acts chapter 10. We're introduced to a new character as well here today, a paisan by the name of Cornelius. It's good to see God include Italians. Let's pick it up. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God and all with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. All right, so Cornelius is a man of faith. Also, he was one of 60 officers in a Roman legion, each of whom commanded 100 men. So he's an officer. Now, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in saying to him, Cornelius. Now, the ninth hour being 3 in the afternoon. So when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, really, that's Simeon, remember. English butchered his name too, Simeon. Simeon Peter. Send for Simeon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simeon the Tanner. Popular name, eh? He's saying, we're staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now, when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. All right, so 2 house servants and a Roman soldier. So when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Understand, this is a key event in our understanding of God and the gospel. First, we saw the gospel included the dreaded Samaritans. Now it's apparent the gospel is going to include Gentiles, Roman soldiers even. If his vision is legit and not just too much linguine before he went to bed. Because if you eat too much linguine before you go to bed, you can think of anything in your mind. So the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the 6th hour, which would be 12 noon. Then he became very hungry and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and he saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the 4 corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of 4-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. All right, now make no mistake about it. The context of this vision is first, food. Secondly, people. I say that because people I know who insist on trying to keep the law to be right with God insist that this vision of Peter's has got nothing to do with food, but only God welcoming Gentiles into the fold. Verse 11, And he saw heaven open, and an object like a great sheet bound at the 4 corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of 4-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. A voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, John MacArthur says this about this text. He said, To keep the Israelites separate from their idolatrous neighbors, God set specific dietary restrictions regarding the consummation of such animals, unquote. For instance, if God had said, do not eat broccoli, it's not because God doesn't necessarily like broccoli, though I bet he probably doesn't anyway. I won't go there. But it's because your evil neighbors worship broccoli, probably bow down to it. When the Apostle Paul says women shouldn't have short hair, it's not because God doesn't like women with short hair. It's because your prostitute neighbors look that way. And God has called you out of that. That was a custom of that time in that area when God made that command, when Paul made that commandment. Where God says no chisels at the work site when they're building the temple, it's not because God has a thing against chisels. It's because chisels were used in making Molech's temple down the street. And it's not going to be like that. There's going to be a difference between God, the things of God, and the people of God, and the way everyone else does things. Food is one of those things as well. Back to Peter's vision. Verse 15, a voice spoke to him again, saying the second time, because Peter is stubborn. He's got to tell him twice. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. The Greek word here for common in this case means impure or defiled. This was done verse 16. This was done three times. And the object was taken up into heaven again. More than just abolishing the Old Testament dietary restrictions, God made unity possible in the church of both Jews, symbolized by the clean animals, and the Gentiles, symbolized by the unclean animals. So it's both. So yes, the text does mean Peter's vision was intended to show him Gentiles are welcome in the faith, and that God's plan for salvation includes the Gentiles. But that's not the whole story here. Listen to the words of Jesus. Let me read to you Mark 7:14. And he called the people to him again, and he said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And then he said to them, are you also without understanding? Don't you understand that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not into his heart, but into his stomach, and is expelled. Then it says this, thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, evil, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and they defile a person. But write down this verse and never forget it. Mark 7:19. It says, thus he declared all foods clean. Hear the word of God today. Mark 7:19. Thus he declared all foods clean. Fall in or fall out. But no one understand clearly what the word of God says. And that is that Jesus has declared all foods clean. Regardless of what people tell you, hear the word of God. Everyone with me? Let me say this. I was taught at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and its seminary. The most important thing for the pastor to do is for me to teach the word of God. Every week I can rest assured that I have taught you the doctrine out of the Holy Bible to build you up and to help you know and understand God better. And Pastor Darren's doing the same thing here. Teaching the word of God. This is our job, the number one thing here. On the other hand, Satan and his job is to deceive you and entice you into believing a lie. Okay, you want more? Food. Romans 14:14. Paul says, I know and I am, same word we looked at this morning. Some translations say persuaded. The better word is convinced. I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to unclean, to him it is unclean. Meaning, broccoli might be unclean to you, but not to me. It is to me. Broccoli's unclean to me. Don't cook it around. Don't boil it near me. Don't serve it. Don't waft it under my nose. It's unclean. But to you, it might not be. And not to God. So if it's unclean to you, that's fine. But don't say God is against it. Because I know and I am convinced by the Lord that there is nothing unclean by itself. That's what the word says. That's where we stand. And don't send me an 80-page letter that Rabbi Yekiel wrote. Because I don't care. I want to know what Rabbi Saul of Tarsus wrote. And that's what we follow here. Sola Scriptura, as Martin Luther said. That means the word of God alone. We stand on the word of God alone. This is where all the trouble started from. When men goes, no, that's not what he means. Let me tie all this in. By the way, Paul must have read the Gospel of Mark. One of the greatest lies of the enemy is that you can grow closer to God if you keep the law. You see, it's not a law, it's not a lie designed for you to commit adultery. It's not a lie designed to abandon your family for someone younger. It's not a lie telling you it's okay to move in with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It's not a lie telling you homosexuality is fine with God. Just be happy. No, it's a lie designed to draw you closer to God. And it's brilliant. Just keep the law and please God. That's all you got to do. Keep the law. I've heard it so many times. Jesus kept Torah. Well, you're not Jesus. Therefore, you fall short. So what are you going to do? Keep the law like Jesus kept the law. My Bible says the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. You can't keep the law, and you are condemned as a sinner. That's why Paul said, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You can't keep the law, but that's the deception here. Keep the law, and you'll be all right. Look how much God hated the legalism of the Pharisees in the Bible. James, the Lord's brother, wrote this: whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point is guilty of all. Guilty of the body and the blood of Christ for stumbling at one thing. We read here in chapter 8, one guy said to Peter, please pray that I'll be forgiven of the thoughts that I think of. Imagine that. For the things that you think. Don't even try to keep the law to be right with God. Receive Jesus Christ to be right with God. And then I'll tell you what, you'll keep the law because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm not advocating you to not to be good and keep the law, but you can't do it on your own and you need help. And when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And now you've got power over the law. You don't have to do those things you used to do. The Bible says you're slaves of sin. Until you believe and receive Jesus Christ, now you're a slave of righteousness. I like that. A slave of righteousness. Think about that. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And they will be filled. Imagine being a slave of that, Darren. A slave of righteousness. You're chained to it. You're chained to righteousness. I'm not advocating you not to keep the law. I'm advocating you to get another Lord and to be slave to something else, somebody else, like a slave to righteousness. But anyway, here, when you're tired of always failing, you quit. You'll quit if you try to keep the law to be right with God. Romans 10:4, it says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Christ is the end of the law. Follow the word of God alone. Sola scriptura. This is what gets us and people into so much trouble. Following the word. Now, verse 17. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision was that he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and they stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simeon, whose name was Peter, was lodging there. Then Peter thought about the vision. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. Why have you come? For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, he was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter, just like Philip, didn't prepare a sermon beforehand to take with him. He didn't prepare beforehand what he was going to say. He just did what the Holy Spirit instructed him to do, waited and trusted on God that the words would come later. You go and you listen first when God sends you somewhere. Listen to wherever it is that he sent you, and then you'll know what to say. So the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and his close friends. I'm in verse 25. I'm in Acts 10:25. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Big mistake. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, for I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. All right, so yes, the vision in part does mean God's referring to people here. We'd be ignorant to not see that. But as I have already proved, he's referring to food too. I already gave you all of the evidence for that, and it's on the handout as well. Verse 29, therefore I came without objection, soon as I was sent for, I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, the tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we're all present before God to hear about the things commanded you by God. All right, he didn't prepare a message. He got there. Certainly, Peter's not going to tell him what kind of tackle he uses when the waves are high, or what's biting these days out here in Joppa. But he waited to see He waited to hear what they were going to ask him, and that's how God moves. That's how God works in your life, too. The Lord said, don't prepare beforehand what you're going to say. When I send you somewhere, just go. And at the proper time, the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need to speak to someone. The same thing that happened here. Same thing that happened to Philip when he ran up to someone, and of all things, he's reading Isaiah 53. As a lamb before its shearers was silent, so he opened not his mouth. Who, pray tell, is he talking about? He must have laughed at that, right? So I think I can help you out here. Don't prepare ahead of time what you're going to answer somebody. Once Peter arrived, he knew what had to be done now. He now was understanding that God included the Italians as well for salvation, and not just Jews. And for that matter, he includes the English, the Irish, the Dutch, the Swiss, the German, the African, the Australian, the Egyptian, and the Arabs as well. God's new plan of salvation is available to all. To all the Lord our God will call. Time for Peter to preach it. And this is all Holy Spirit speaking, same as on the day of Pentecost. Now, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Or here it says, God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The words which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day, and he showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen beforehand by God. Catch that. He wasn't shown to everyone. He was shown to witnesses, certain people that God chose beforehand. That's why I wrote on the bottom of the handout there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, on the bottom of your handout, it says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Understand, your salvation comes about because God chose you. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me should draw him. And I'll raise him up on the last day.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Believe it.